Just remind you all that our fill-in sheet is on the back of the notice sheet this morning. We left John's Gospel last week with the disciples meeting Jesus for breakfast. Remember that story? They've been fishing. John was the first to recognize that it was Jesus on the shore. And being typically, John recognized but told Peter. And typically Peter, he can't wait, jumps off the boat, swims to Jesus, and he's first there. And when the rest of the disciples finally catch up, Jesus has breakfast ready for the disciples. And this morning we get to look at this difficult meeting with Jesus and Peter. Remember, Peter has denied Jesus. Jesus knew that. All the disciples knew that. But above all, Peter knew that. And this morning we're going to piece together what happened. And our first fill-in this morning is Peter's fall started with overconfidence. That's where it starts. Peter was very overconfident. Let's rewind to before the arrest of Jesus. And Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to be leaving them soon. And in the upper room, Jesus then speaks to his disciples about the centrality of Christian love in the Christian faith. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And this gets Peter thinking about how much he loves Jesus. And I think this thought is going around in his head. And when Jesus speaks about leaving his disciples, Peter recognizes that he means he's going to die. And he knows at that time, even if Jesus is going to die, he is willing to die for Jesus. He's willing to go with him, even if it means he himself is going to face death. And he says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. And I truly believe Peter thinks that at that moment in his life. I will do anything for you. If it means we're going to go back to Jerusalem somewhere and die, that's fine. I will do that. But Jesus knows Peter, and look what he says to him. Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. And the next thing we've got to see is fill in two. Peter must have been hurt by what Jesus said. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to him? I'm going to go anywhere. I'm willing to die for you. I can do what all these other folk can't do. I'm willing. And he says, it's not going to happen. And what Jesus said to Peter obviously stayed with Peter because he's mulling this over. What does he mean I'm going to betray him? What does he mean I'm going to deny him? Because if you follow the same story in Matthew's Gospel, we read this. Then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. And Peter replies, even if all fall away on your account, I will never. He's still worried about that. I don't care what you say. I will never leave you. And he's so confident in himself that he's willing to write off all the rest of the disciples. I don't know what you lot are going to do. You lot can all deny Jesus, not me. You lot can all run away, not me. I'll be there. And he was horrified that Jesus could even say such a thing. Because I will be there, he says. And the problem is, we know what happened. We know the story. Jesus knew what was going to happen. And here on the shore, when they're reunited again, Peter remembers what he did. Jesus was right. I did deny him. And we've got to see how Peter felt at that time, because fill-in number three says Peter is overwhelmed by sorrow and shame. He really is. He must have been gutted. And one of the saddest verses in the whole of the Bible is Peter after his betrayal. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus has spoken, and he went outside and he wept bitterly. And we've got to get the picture of this big, strong, burly fisherman just losing it in tears. because he's failed. And this is where I want to take you this morning, to that time or those times when you have done or not done something that now overwhelms you. You're overwhelmed with sorrow or with shame. And most of us have one or two of those things, and it comes back very quickly to our minds now. The times when, despite your best intentions, you've behaved in a way that's even surprised yourself. And you're ashamed. And you would give anything to have that day back. You would give anything to have the courage to have behaved maybe a bit differently. And I've got to take you there, because this morning we've got to see, and it's number four, that the meeting between Peter and Jesus is our meeting. Between us and Jesus. That's where we've got to intersect this morning. The meeting that he had with Jesus in his shame and in his guilt is our meeting, or it can be our meeting this morning. Because it's not an easy meeting, and it's not a comfortable meeting. So let's fast forward back to the breakfast. Peter and Jesus on the shore. And Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And I take the "more than these" to be the "more than these disciples." "Do you love me more than the rest of them that are here?" And the first thing we've got to see how he uses Simon Peter's old name. The name he had when Jesus first met them. It's not Simon the rock here, it's Simon the wee pebble. And that's how Simon is feeling just now. Peter's not the big rock upon which God is going to build his church. He's that little pebble that has failed, and that's how he's feeling. "I'm not the rock Jesus promised I would be." And what's also quite interesting about this conversation, we don't sort of get it in the English, but in the Greek, we get this play around with Greek words for love. We've only got one. We've got at least three in the Greek. And the two words that they use for love in this passage are agape love, and that's God's love. When you read "God so loved the world," that's "God so agape loved the world that he gave his son." Or we can have filial love, which is a love we can have for friends, one another. And once we see these two, this is the way the conversation goes. Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you agape love me? Do you God love me more than all these?" And his reply is a strange one. He says, "Yes, I do. A friendship love you." His confidence is gone. There's no big shouting about, "I can love you as God loves you. I can do the second best. I love you as the friendship love you." And then Jesus comes back to him. "Peter, do you love me? Do you agape love me again? Do you God love me again?" And he says, "Well, you know, a friendship love you." How many of us go back three times? Because by this time we're saying, "Let him off the hook. You know, come on. Look at him." Third time, Jesus goes back and he asks the same thing. "Okay, I know you can never love me," as though he's saying with agape love, "but do you love me with this friendship love, with this filial love?" And this third one hurt Peter. And he said, "Why are you asking me a third time? You know how I am. You know what I've done." And he says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And it's no coincidence for number five that three times Peter denies Jesus and three times he gets him to admit that "you love me." Now, is Jesus being a bit cruel here? You know, this painful meeting is such a painful meeting for Peter. But the meeting was for Peter and it wasn't for Jesus, because Peter is in despair. And who knows what the other disciples are thinking? Put yourself in the shoes of the other disciples. Don't know what you would think. I know what I would think. Not so big now, eh? This rock upon what Jesus is going to build this church. Ha! Okay, I ran away. He denied three times. You know, the big, his favourite. Shaky ground now. And Peter has got to see that although he has fallen, although he has denied Jesus, his faith hasn't failed. Because in despair and in distress, he can still cry out, you know all things and you know that I love you. Maybe not as I should do, but at least you know I do love you. And what Peter realized on that shore, we've got to realize this morning. And some of us have really got to get this, because this is what God is saying to you this morning. We must realize, especially if we have fallen, especially if our past come back to torment us, especially if we feel we're walking, talking failures, especially if the thing that come back into your mind 5 minutes ago is still haunting you, is number six. God can look into our hearts and see the love we have for him. And that's something we can't do, but that's something that God can do for every single one of us. God looks into Peter's heart. God can look into our heart, despite who we are, despite what we've done. And he looks in there and he says, I know how much you love me, because I can see that. And some of us have got to get that this morning. He can look into our hearts and he can see, that's how much I know you love me. Especially by when what we have done or what we have said seems to deny that. And that's a conflict we have sometimes. You know? Who has not had someone say to them, you've done that, you're a Christian? You had that? Tell you, could be worse. You've done that, you're a minister. And that's why we've got to see, sometimes despite what we have done, Jesus can look into our hearts and he can see that down there, genuinely, we love him. And we've got to hang on to that. Now, another thing we've got to sort of realize is that God is not able to just look into our hearts and see we love him. He knows our motives. He knows our true feelings. And he knows our true selves. Now, that can be a bit scary, because some of us spend a lot of our time sort of building up a nice mask and trying to be somebody we're really not. And the pressure of doing that is massive. You know. That's why we promise in this church never to have a service more than an hour and a half, because I know some of you can't keep that mask on for that long. You know, before you're out the gates, crumbled. And what we've got to see, and what we've got to know, scary though it is, Peter came to the point of knowing that although he had failed Jesus greatly, Jesus could really look into his heart and see what he felt. And although his heart might be broken, Peter knew, and Jesus knew, it was a heart that did love God. And you might say, well, why is that important for us to know? Because number seven says, God knows the worst about us, but he still loves us anyway. And the children will have no problem believing that, but the older we get and the more cynical we get, we wonder about that. God knows the worst about us, but he still loves us. And this morning I'm asking, do you believe that? Because if you don't, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because you're going to put another layer on that mask. Unless we know that. God knows the worst about you. God knows the worst about me. And still he loves us. And sometimes we've got to get that from our minds into our hearts. Because sometimes we get this crazy idea that we can do something that's going to surprise God. You know, you can take that from the kids, not from the adults. That we can do, you know, we think somewhere along the line, I'm going to do something, God's going to say, oh my goodness, they did what? They're good Church of Scotland members. Oh, what has happened? Nothing surprises God. He knows. If you want to preach that, he probably knows before we do it. That's even worse. And we've got to know that. God knows all things that we do, all things that we think, all motives we've got. And the incredible thing we've got to see this morning, what Peter saw, is despite all that, God still loves us. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Tell you. That's what Peter found. Tells us in Romans, a super verse we should all memorize in Romans, it was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. Isn't that a lovely thing? When we didn't give a hoot, be nice, he died for us. That's why when we've got friends and folk who either rubbish God or say it's a lot of hee-haw or whatever, Christ died for them, you know? And that's what we hang on to. We're praying for you because Christ died for you. And our prayer is that you're going to see Jesus for who he was. And that's why we don't get too excited when folk rubbish God or say things about him or use his name as a swear word. Jesus died for that. Because Jesus loves them. Even if sometimes we can't. So God knows the worst about us, but he loves us anyway. And if that's not enough, I love this. Number 8, God knows the best about us, even if others don't. God knows the best about us, even if others don't. And what song springs to mind? Simply the Best. You see, theological giants we have in this congregation. There's Matthew going, who's Tina Turner? Who is she? Who is that scary woman? Old enough to be my granny. She probably is. Let's swiftly move on. Because I wonder what the disciples really thought about Peter and his meeting with Jesus. Because I think they would have said he's no big shot, he's, you know. And sometimes folk think that about us. You know. If Peter can do that, he's capable of anything. You know, he denied Jesus. What's he going to do? Get him off the congregational board. And God knows the best about us, even if others don't. And he knew Peter's heart, even if others doubted him. And we've got to see this morning, God knows our hearts. God knows what we really think. God knows what we really feel. God knows what we think about Jesus, his son. And that's something else some of us have got to hear this morning. God knows. God knows your heart. Despite what you do sometimes, God knows your heart. Despite what other thinks about you, God knows your heart. Despite what you often think about yourself, God knows your heart. And God knows the best about you, even if others don't. And the last one, number 9, is Jesus still has work for Peter to do. I love this one. Because I think the last part of the conversation is probably the most surprising part of all. Because they've sort of had this difficult part, and I think Peter's beginning to believe that Jesus has restored them to fellowship. That things between them are going to be okay. And I can see Jesus saying, well, Peter, you can now go home. Our relationship has been restored. But maybe it's best if you take a back seat for a while, you know, off the front benches, wait till things calm down, and then we'll see what we can do. And I'm sure Peter would have understood that. He would love to have been in the back benches, because at least he's on a bench. And he thought he didn't have a bench. Jesus says, no, Peter, I've still got work for you to do. And the incredible thing, he says, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, you're still in the game. It's what he says to him. Feed my sheep. I know what you're like, impetuous, overconfident, hugely optimistic, single-minded, sometimes stupid. But I know your heart. And that's what I need. Because remember, I used to call you a fisher of men. Well, what I want you to do now is to teach these fish men that you've caught. Because somebody's got to teach them about me, and I want you to do that. Tell them about me. Feed those who are coming to faith. Because you're going to be able to do that, Peter. And then Jesus sort of ends his conversation with Peter. In the way he started his conversation with Peter, it seems about 3 years ago since we started John's Gospel, but 3 years ago in the life of Peter, that's when he sort of met him. And at the beginning, when he met Peter, one of the first things he said to him was, "Follow me." And this is what he says to him right at the end. "You're restored. You're back in the game. I've got work for you to do, so follow me." And I love it because Peter's still Peter. And he's back in the game and he's thinking, great. And the first thing he says, "Well, what about him? What about John? Oh, man. You know, what's going to happen to John? Tell me. And Jesus says, "Don't worry about John. I can sort out John's," he says. He says, "Worry about you and follow me." And all God asks at the end of John's Gospel is a simple question that every one of us have got to answer this morning. Are we still following Jesus? That's what he's saying. Are you following? Well, what about them? Never mind about them. Don't worry about them. Worry about you. Are you still following Jesus? Are you following Jesus close enough so that you can hear what he's saying? Are you following Jesus close enough so that you can still see what he's doing today? Or is Jesus getting a wee bit far away? Still see him, but he's sometimes disappearing over the horizon. Or maybe if you're honest this morning, you'll say, I think I've lost sight of him. I think I've lost contact with Jesus. You want to know something? He's not lost contact with you. Hasn't. Jesus has not lost contact with you. And he's still calling every single one of us this morning, "Follow me. Follow me." That's what we've got to do. And he's still saying to some of us, "Feed my sheep." And we'll see when we share communion. And we will share communion this morning. What he says the way back is. Amen.